Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back, or welcome to RIBS, which stands for Relationships in Biblical Submission. My name is Derek, and right beside me, I have my wife, my co-host,
D'Avion.
And today, we got a really good episode for y'all. It is called After the Altar, and we're going to be sharing a little bit about where we've been, what's been going on, how's life, how's the marriage life, all of these common questions that we've been getting lately. But before we dive into that, we want to share a little bit about who we are, what we do. Our goal with this podcast is simply to share our experiences with you and to also tell you what the Bible, what the Word of God has to say about some of the topics that we discuss. As always, we like to start off with a verse of the day, so I'm going to let that hop over to my queen. I'm going to let her share that.
Okay, y'all. The verse of today is coming from Matthew 12, verse 25. It says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand."
Awesome. So we're going to jump right in to what's been going on. So the reason why we brought that Bible verse into perspective today for this conversation is because we have now become one. We are a kingdom that is united, and we cannot be divided any longer. So recently, we just got married on the 24th of February. It is now April Fool's Day. No pranks over here, though. And a lot has been going on. We got married. I proposed in September. And the last time we spoke, we were telling you guys about our journey from how we started dating until we got two fiancés. And so now we're officially married. Congratulations to us. And yeah, I'm gonna let my what would you like to say, man? What's been going on? What was the big takeaway from the wedding? Let's start there.
Okay, so my biggest takeaway from our wedding is to enjoy the moment with your spouse. I like to describe myself as the Martha in the Mary and Martha story. I am a busybody. I like to be around, and I like to make sure everybody's doing well. I like to prep and all this stuff. Even on my wedding day, I showed up to the venue when they opened, and I was getting our tables.
What time they open?
9. Our wedding started at 4. But I was preparing the tables. Me and my mama, you know, and my day of coordinator, my friend, Destiny, if you're watching, girl, hey. And we got there early, and we prepped, and our mother-in-law, love her. We got there early, we prepped, and that's just who I am as a person. And I think one thing that I took away from it is, instead of making sure everybody else is good, I should have just been spending time with my boo, you know, my new husband, and just making sure we enjoy all the little moments instead of running around and making sure everybody's entertained. My biggest piece of advice for anyone that is getting married is to enjoy it with your spouse. Let your guests approach you, take pictures, all of that, but make sure you are enjoying yourself. If you want to go into the buffet line 6 times, get yourself a plate, do it.
6 times.
I mean, hey, it's your wedding, okay? Do what you want to do. If you want to if you want to eat lots of wedding cake, if you want to dance to all the songs,
baby,
do your
you
thing.
Just said get in the buffet line 6 times.
But that's not the dessert line. That's not the dessert line.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
You can get food. You can get dessert. Do what you want to do. Okay.
Have
a good old time.
Do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do.
Okay. I would agree with that, because what people don't realize is that when you're planning a wedding, a lot of it is for the people.
It is. Yeah.
A lot of it is. And you can easily get sidetracked with losing your focus of, oh, this is supposed to be about us, and we're inviting them to our party. And then, if you've ever hosted anything, any event, any family function or anything, usually the host ends up with a lot of the responsibilities, and it may not even be fun for them in the end, but everybody else got to enjoy it.
Hostess with the mostest, you know?
What? Huh?
I said that's why they call them hostess with the mostest, because they have the most responsibilities.
Oh, my goodness. Hostess with the mostest. Okay. And so that's kind of what happened, man. You know, I had a lot of family out of state coming in from Indiana, from Florida, from all kinds of places. And they came all the way down to Texas to support me because they love me. And you really want to make sure, when you have friends and family that also that you love and you're close to and you haven't seen them in a while, like you really want to make sure that they also have a good time too. And I'm guilty. I am at fault because there were moments during the wedding when I am a social butterfly and I would spend time talking to my uncle who I ain't seen in a few years. I'm like, what's up? Oh, what's going on? Oh, man, nephew, what's going on, man? Your boy looking nice. All this stuff. And then I would end up talking. Huh?
I said, thanks, Unc.
Shout out to my family and that, man. Love y'all. But, yeah, it can easily become a thing where you're trying to entertain everybody. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that you didn't want to happen ends up happening.
Yeah.
And so I think what my wife is really trying to say is don't make that wedding for everybody else and then not do anything for yourself. Let me ask you a question. Would you plan a wedding like this again with that side?
No. And one thing that I wanted to mention before I answer that question further is that there would not be a wedding for them to come to if it wasn't for the couple, right? So that's something that you need to keep your mind upon when you are going into planning a wedding and, you know, actually encountering your wedding day. These people would not be here if you and your spouse were not together. So enjoy your spouse, enjoy the night, you know, all those things. But no, the answer to that question is no, because as I mentioned before, I'm Martha and it's just too much for me. You know, that amount of people was just a lot. We had like over 100 people there and I just want to be engaged and accommodate and all that stuff. So I think if I could go back, I would plan a more intimate ceremony, just our family and just our immediate family. And close friends, if I could go back and do it again. But I did enjoy my wedding. It was awesome seeing everyone, having a good time, dancing. But I think I would just, for my own sake, my own sanity, I would have it smaller.
Yeah, I would. I don't know how I feel about that. And the reason why is because I'm not going to lie. One of my weaknesses in this stage of life is I am not the best planner. I like to do things on the fly. I don't really like
speak
to
speak it.
Huh?
I said speak it. Speak Tell it. Your truth.
Okay. I'm telling the truth though. I'm talking to the people. I'm telling the truth. And a lot of it was frustrating for my fiance because there were moments where I wanted to get a wedding planner and she was like, well, we can save more money if I just plan it all and it's in 5 months. And she did a phenomenal job, by the way. Shout out to you.
Thank you, husband. Thank you.
She did a great job planning a lot of it without a wedding planner. And, you know, maybe that could be a little side hustle thing. But at the end of it all, it was frustrating for her when I get stressed out when I think about a lot of stuff in a plan like that. And so my brain would just shut down. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, we got to think about this. Like, it's every day. It's like, okay, what about the food? We got to talk to the caterer. The next day, we got to get the linen. Oh, man, we got to figure out how we want the tables arranged, how we want the chairs arranged. Mm-hmm. Did we make a list for the DJ, for all the music? Like, it was just a lot.
A wedding is a production.
A production?
Yeah.
It really is. For any other folks that are looking to get married soon, it's a lot. It's a lot goes into it, especially when you start. Everything starts at the budget, though. Got to have a good budget. I think ours was, what, 9?
It was 8, but we were, like, right in between 8 and 9.
8, 9K? Because, you know, some people you see on social media and stuff, they have these, what, like, $30,000 budget weddings. And I'm like, man, we got to live after this. We have to live after this. Like, this is one day.
Yeah. And that leads us to the next point. If y'all want a more detailed episode about everything, how we planned our wedding to cost and everything, we would love to do that if y'all want to hear more about that. But we want to talk about after the altar, okay? So like Derek said.
Yeah, my bad.
The wedding is one day, but your marriage is supposed to last a lifetime.
Right.
And so one thing that I mentioned in my vows was that our love story is just beginning, because now we are, because me and Derek, we didn't live together before we got married. We didn't have sex. Everything was new for us pretty much. And so getting married, you are able to see who a person truly is, because you get to live with them, sleep with them. Like, you get to see, like, does this person snore? Does this person, like, kick in their sleep? Does he wash the dishes a certain way? What kind of laundry detergent does he use? You get to really get to know a person. And so getting married, loving a person, as we've already mentioned before, love is a choice, but like marriage is a choice. Having a intentional marriage is a choice. And every single day when you wake up, you have to choose that I'm going to love them intentionally. As the word says, you know, love covers all offenses. And so you have to decide that this love that we are creating, that we are sustaining, that we are pouring into will cover every single offense, no matter what, you know, comes up. So.
Yeah, no, yeah, 100%. When you say those words at the altar, the I do's and the vows and all that stuff, that's serious. And I would say it really hit me. For all my fellas that's looking to get married, a lot of things that men think about is sex, right? And sex is something you cannot idolize before going into marriage or even when you're in it, because I would like to describe it as the alphabet. The alphabet has about 27 letters, and sex, in this example, only makes up 3 letters out of the entire alphabet. It does not make up your marriage. Yes, it's something that could be good. It's something that can be beneficial. It's a God-given gift for married people, but it's not something you can idolize. And when we got back from the wedding, number one, we were tired because we were there all day.
Y'all, feet were barking.
Yeah, I think I checked my health, and I had like 15,000 steps that day. And it was crazy. But loving my wife, because when we got back, I was ready to get down. And Mother Nature was like, stop, pause, wait, hold on. And I was like, come on, man, not now. Waited 20 years and get ready to do that. And it was a moment for me to be like, okay, am I idolizing sex or do I still love my wife past it?
Yeah.
And that was hard. But I really had to remind myself what the Bible said. Love is patient. And I was like, you know what? I'm here. She's my wife. I love her. And I think of her more than just a sex object. And so tying in those vows, it's not even just the sex thing. You have to choose to love this person every single day. When they get on your nerves, mm-hmm. when they do something you don't like,
yep.
all these things, you have to say, all right, I've already committed to you in front of many witnesses and before God. And so I choose to love you and be patient with you. Like the Bible says, love is patient, it's kind, it's all that stuff. I choose to do all those things for you because I'm committed to you and I want to spend my life with you.
Yep, I agree. I think marriage, like Derek was saying, you know, sex can't sustain it. I think it's definitely needed in marriage, but I don't think that should be the sole reason that you get into marriage, because there are so many different layers and elements and things that you need from your spouse. You know, I may need you to pray for me. I may need some encouragement, you know. There's different things that you need from your spouse. And the two big sermons that we've learned since getting or heard since we got married. One is to learn to outserve your spouse. Strive to outserve your spouse every single day. Like, so it like creates this competition in your mind. It's like, okay, well, I want to outserve him today. Let me cook for him and let me do this, you know. Yes. And then he's also coming with that same mindset, so you don't feel like one person is not being served and the other person is like pouring too much, pouring out, and they're not being poured into. And then the second thing is the, what was I going to say?
Well, why are you thinking about that? We went to a church a few weeks ago, and he gave some really good advice for all the married couples about out-saving the other. And I think that's hard because, especially for men, we've always been taught to be the leader, to make sure that you run your house and all that stuff. But really, you have to settle into what role did Jesus play with the church? He served. He served. And so even when you get after the altar, this is when you really have to get down as for the fellas and the gentlemen out there, and really serve your wife the way Christ did. What did he do? He humbled himself from his position as what he was even before, when the world hadn't even been created yet. And he got on our level as humans, and he was in the trenches with us. He experienced what we experienced. And so as a husband, what I'm doing is, now that I'm fully in it, I have to make sure that I am in it with my wife, that I'm doing all that I can. And this is not to be slave. You know, we're not saying to be slaves, but it is good to serve one another, because the expectation is that God always does a boomerang. And so what I mean by that is, just as Christ was willing to die for you and to serve you and to give his whole self to you, as husbands we should be doing to our wives, he's expecting a return on investment for those who are in him. And so if I pour into my wife and I serve and I cook and I clean and I rub her back and I massage her feet and I take her car to the car wash and put gas in it, you know, I know that she's going to take care of me because she loves me. She made a commitment in front of God to say, I'm going to serve you too. I'm going to give you a return on investment. Mm-hmm. And so she does a great job making sure, you know, buying the groceries and cooking sometimes and, you know, cleaning and all that stuff. And so it creates this good balance of, you serve, I'm going to serve. And, you know, I'm going to try to outserve you. You're like, no, I'm going to try to outserve you. Mm-hmm. And so, but in that, it's a lot of love. It's a lot of learning. And it's a lot of appreciation for who you decided to spend your life with. So one advice I would give to the fellas is it don't try to be that guy like I would. Like, man, I'm going to run the show. You got to follow my lead, blah, blah, blah. Like,
that does
no,
not work.
That's, huh?
What? That does not work.
That doesn't work. And Jesus didn't even do that. Jesus was not like, all right, let all y'all fall in line under me. And yeah, we're going to do this thing. Like, you know what? Do as I say. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus was always a gentleman. You know, he never forced his way on nobody. He taught, he explained, he preached. And with that willingness and that freedom, he wanted people to follow him willingly and love him back. And so that's what we got to do.
Okay, I do remember what I was going to say. So number two, the things that we learned is that you cannot pour out to everybody else like your boss. Like, you can't just give 100% to your boss and come home and give your spouse nothing. So learning that even when I do not feel like being supportive, or even when I don't feel like talking, I don't feel like being kind, I want to come home and lay down and that's it. Like, I have to give my spouse 100% too. And that can be 100% communication, 100% and like spending time with one another, operating in his love language. Like, it needs to be reciprocated, and it can't just be like when I get home, like, okay, I'm tired, I don't have any time for you, I'll catch you later on this weekend. No, your spouse deserves 100%, and you also deserve 100%. Yes, that is our advice for after the altar. If there is any podcast suggestions that you have, please leave them in the comments. We hope that you all enjoyed the episode, and we will talk to y'all in our next one.
Awesome. See you guys later. Hope you learned something, and have a great, blessed, and rest of your day.